Are you ready to talk about demonic possession, satanic ritual abuse, and some other scary things? Kimberly McGeorge joins us, and we're going to talk about that next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Kimberly McGeorge with us. Let me tell you about Dr. Kimberly McGeorge, internationally renowned naturopathic doctor, energy healer, remote viewer, paranormal expert, consciousness teacher. Her extensive client list includes some of the world's most talented healers, and for the past 25 years, she has worked on thousands of people around this planet, driven by her inner knowing that her healing work could be made much quicker, more affordable, amplified using technology. Dr. Kimberly consulted with an esteemed neurosurgeon and realized that the healing frequencies and naturopathy could be applied to all areas of her clients' lives. And her latest groundbreaking program is called Frequency Master, teaches how to master frequencies in your own life and trains other healers to use their own unique and successful methods. Her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Kimberly, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
I'm looking forward to this. How did this all begin for you?
Ooh, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I'm just teasing. Kind of not. So, really, it's one of those things you try to run from and you can't. So I was born with very, very distinctive, strong psychic abilities. Of course, when you're 3 and 4 and 5, you do not understand that they're called remote viewing. You have no idea what that is. You only know what you experience and you see. And we happen to live outside of Chicago at the time. And anybody who's ever been to a big city, especially if you've ever been to Chicago, knows there's a lot of sirens. There's police sirens and fire sirens and ambulance sirens. And, so I'm this little girl. My parents sent me to bed and the sirens would wake me up. Now, unfortunately, it wasn't just the sirens that woke me up. It was the pictures that came into my head when I heard those sirens. So I would see a lot of nothing, but I would see horrific things, people hanging, trying to commit suicide and battered women and accidents with, people dying on the side of the road. And eventually, I was a little slow, I realized that the sirens were connected, to those pictures. And, of course, there's no way I can prove it. But I think if I could, have driven there, it would have matched what I was seeing when I heard those particular sirens. So that's how it all, really began.
Was it genetic? I mean, other members of your family have these abilities?
Yeah, what a great question. So we suspect, my girls and I, that my grandmother had these abilities. She was always, the one that knew everything before it happened.
Uh-huh.
And be like, what are you up to? And
now, grandmother on your mother's side or father's side?
Yeah, you got it. Grandmother on my
mother's side. Okay.
Yep.
And did she come out and tell people she had these abilities, or did she kind of keep it quiet?
No, I mean, that was kind of the, I'm half German, half English, and she was a typical German, and, Germans don't tend to share a lot. They're not really sharing people. Maybe they are now, but she was kind of old school German and a very talented baker, a very loving woman, very, very talented. But she struggled a lot in her life. She actually struggled with a lot of the things that I struggled with, which was a lot of depression and anxiety. And so I often wonder if that struggle was tied in with her psychic abilities, because they kind of go hand in hand sometimes.
Just an aside, were you a White Sox or Cubbies fan?
Oh, Cubbies.
Uh-huh. Well, that's okay.
I love it.
I'm from Detroit, so I know the rivalry between the Tigers and the White Sox, to be sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Do you get back to Chicago much?
I do not. I used to, but I do not. I'm in the beautiful, wonderful, warm, green state of North Carolina, and no thank you to the winter.
Well, North Carolina is a gorgeous state, too. Just great area and everything else.
Yeah, I love it.
You got involved in exorcisms at the age of 20. What happened?
Growing up, I kind of repressed my abilities, and we moved to Columbus, Ohio from Chicago. And I saw the opportunity to move back to Chicago, get away from my family. And as a lot of young people do, I think when we go to college or we move away from home, we decide, you know, maybe we can choose something different. So I chose to actually start very, very slowly in college expressing the other part of me that I'd always kept hidden, which was the psychic part. And in college, it became a very big commodity. I mean, when you know if someone's cheating, if you know if you're going to, you know, your best friend's going to get engaged or not, if you can tell them, you know, not only that their boyfriend's cheating, but, you know, what the girl looks like and her license plate and what car she drives. I mean, you're pretty popular in school.
Like a private eye.
Exactly. So, you know, it's quite the hot commodity. You know, they were skeptical. I went to a religious school, so they kind of, you know, didn't really welcome that necessarily. But my friends liked it. So word got around to local law enforcement. And when they ran into really bizarre cases, which, believe it or not, they kind of did quite often because it was in the Fox River Valley, they were just starting the occult crime units at the time and the police kind of across the country, but definitely in Chicago. And so one day, you know, I got a call and they're like, could you come help us out? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm 20. What do I know? I'm like, I don't know. I'll try.
Well, no, this was the first time that kind of call came to you?
Oh, well, yeah. Totally. I mean, I'm just, you know, saying, you know, he's cheating, you know, where are we going to dinner? I mean, just stupid things, you know. But this was my big, you know, case breakthrough. And so I didn't even know where I was going. I met them at an address, and it was a home for the disabled. And they told me very briefly, I guess it was some kind of test, you know, what was going on, which they didn't know what was going on. But the residents were screaming in fear, looking at the ceiling, having kind of like epileptic seizure fits on the floor.
Jeez.
Very disturbing.
But most of them, how many were in there? People?
There were 20 or 30. It was, and it wasn't children. It was young adults, maybe middle-aged.
Okay.
Young adults in that age range. So it wasn't children. There were no children there. It was an adult home. And, you know, they just said, what can you pick up? So I walked through the facility, and I walked into the staff lounge, and immediately I said, do I have permission to go through the staff lockers? And they're like, I guess. So they got everybody's permission, which was stupid. And I went through the staff lockers, and the first thing I found was a satanic Bible. Like, we can't get more trite than
that,
right?
Were you looking for something?
I was. I felt, that's a good question. I felt, and this would become my whole entire life and lead to the whole frequency healing thing down the road, but I felt something just wrong, like out of sync with the other kind of normality of the place. It just felt kind of heavy and dark and oppressive. And so, you know, I pulled the satanic Bible out, and they called the person in. And, you know, they didn't admit anything. They're like, I have a right to my religion, yada, yada. Like, we all know how that goes. So, okay. So while we're doing this, we start to hear screaming. And there was a young man that they were getting ready. He was still dressed, but it was in a very large shower, you know, for those to accommodate, you know, his disability. And he was screaming and looking at the ceiling and saying, Father, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. And I am like, I cannot even believe this. There's this big swirling. I mean, it was like Ghostbusters, this big swirling dark figure on the ceiling. And, of course, I'm the only person that can see it. So I don't even know what I did, to be honest with you, George. I just, you know, I was from a Christian family. So I'm like, in the blood of Jesus, you know, and all that kind of stuff and kind of what you would expect a, you know, religious person to do in that type of thing. And to my shock, awe, and amazement at everyone else's, he stopped. You know, the thing went away.
Jeez.
Long story short, come to find out, not only did they have a satanic Bible, but they were performing like they were killing animals. I'm sorry for people.
Oh,
I know
geez.
People don't like that, but they were. They were killing animals and doing rituals on the grounds of this home. So it was a little bigger than it first appeared.
Did things stop immediately once you uncovered this? Are you there? Hello? Let's try this one time here, Danny. Kimberly, are you there? Hello? Well, folks, we don't have anybody here right now, so let's see what's going on with Kimberly. And she has disappeared. Every time they talk about something controversial or scary, they disappear. But we'll get her back somehow. She is hunkered away somewhere, as she said, in North Carolina, and we're about ready to talk with her about this was basically her first exorcism. Then she had a second one. But she deals with a lot of strange possessions and things like that. So, Tommy, let's get her back on. Where is she? And let's pick her up. Pick her up. Put your microphone on, too, Tom, if you can. Put your microphone on, and let's chit-chat with you while we get her, and we'll try to pick her up. You know, we're talking about something controversial, and she disappeared.
I know, and that happens a lot, if you notice.
It's weird.
It is weird. You know, is it the phone lines? Is it the topic? You know, we got to get her back.
Yeah. So do what you can to get her back. We've got a lot of time for the rest of the night. If for some reason we can't get her, we'll go to open lines as we normally do. And if you've got the number, start calling now and let's see what happens. And let's go to the phones. I'll do it Art Bell style. We'll see what happens. Welcome to the program. You're on the air.
I am. Well, hello, George. Thank you for taking
it. It's Annie from Alabama.
Yes. A little birdie told me to call in.
Well, welcome to the show. You're on. You're the show right now, Annie.
Same little birdie that comes in the middle of the night and pecks on my window, tells me what to write. I'm writing 6 books at one time. That bird comes to me in a dream.
So how you been?
I'm doing real good, and somebody was burning tires right here in this neighborhood a few nights ago.
Hold on for a second, Annie. I think Kimberly might be back. Kimberly, you back?
The bays didn't like my story.
You did? Yeah, what happened to you? Could you hear me?
No, I couldn't hear you at all. I heard the last question, and then everything just went like crackly, crackly, crackly. It was very strange.
Well, you're back with us now, and we were talking about your first exorcism. And was it successful?
So you didn't even hear the end of the story.
No, we didn't hear that. What happened?
I'm not sure when it cut off, or gosh, I was talking. Long story short, it was successful. We found out that the employee was not just, you know, had a right to their religion, but they were killing animals on the property. And they were performing rituals, and there was a whole group of them involved. And so it was successful. I stopped the being from coming in. And once we got all that garbage, the person was dismissed. They weren't dismissed because they were practicing their religion. They were dismissed because they were killing animals and doing illegal activities on their workplace. So, everything was happy after that.
Now, you had a second exorcism. What happened there? Some kind of abduction incident?
Well, I suspect it was an abduction incident, as I know you've talked to a ton of people.
Oh my God.
That have had abduction incidents, and as we don't know. I assume because of the way that it happened, it was an abduction incident, but it was also kind of a mix of exorcism and abduction. My college friend and I were going to pick up her brother. You know, just normal night from O'Hare Airport, and we started out. And as we're driving on the highway, she gets this really weird look on her face. And I'm like, "You're going a little fast." And I'm like, "Why are you looking like that?" And she said, "Watch this." And she took her foot off the gas pedal, and the gas pedal was going down by itself and up by itself. So it would, like, go really, really fast. And then you could see the pedal, like, she wasn't touching it. And I'm
but
like,
something,
oh my God.
Something
like,
was, though, an invisible foot or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, somebody else was driving this car. And I was just so dumb. I'm sorry. I was so naive back then. I thought, you think you know everything when you're 20, but you really don't. And so, you know, Miss Intelligence here says, "Why don't we pull over on the side of the road and I'll drive? I'm sure it won't happen to me. You know, after all, I'm Miss Exorcist. Now I've got this big exorcism under my belt. I know how to deal with weird stuff." And so I got in, and no dice. Same exact thing happened. Of course, it's even freakier when it's happening to you, you know, in the driver's seat. So we're like, we got to get off. We got to get the car off the road. This was our big mistake, by the way, you guys. And so the next exit, we got off. And we were so oblivious, of course, because we're both kind of half in shock. We pull off, and the first thing I do notice is on the left, it's all dark. On the left, there's an old-fashioned gas station. And when I mean old-fashioned gas station, I mean like the round things on top, like, I don't know gas. And like, you know, you have to pull the thing out, and it was a rickety old wooden building, just really strange. But we didn't pull there. There was like a, you know, a pullover across the street from that. No houses or anything. As soon as we got off the road, though, and stopped the car and turned the car off, and later I found this is typical of paranormal activity, but then I didn't know, the wind started howling, and it sounded like something was going around and around and around the car, scratching the car. And I looked out the windows, and I'm like, is it just a sound? No, but the trees were swaying, too, and it was like, it was really, really strange. Then my friend fell back in the seat, starts choking and saying, help me. And I'm like, I could barely process all of this stuff because it all kind of happened at once. So then, you know, I did my Christian, you know, rite of exorcism that had worked so well before. And I guess it stopped because she stopped choking and she was holding her throat. And so calmed her down and we started singing hymns. I don't know why. Jeez. My dad's a pastor. We just started singing hymns.
Well, I was going to say, you're not a priest, but it worked with you.
It worked. I don't know why, honestly, I don't. Now I kind of know why, but I didn't know why back then. And we hit the road. So, you know, big deal. You know, we're over it. All this weird stuff happened. We stopped at this stop sign in a cornfield trying to find our way back. Now, this was, your audience has to remember, especially your younger audience, we had maps back then. We did not have cell phones. We did not have GPS. So we're kind of wandering blind here, which made it a little scarier. So we stop at the stop sign in the cornfield, and I look in the rearview mirror, and there's a man. I was driving. There's a man sitting in the back seat.
Oh, you mean just like with eyes staring at you?
Yeah, he was sitting. I mean, he looked solid. I don't think he was. And who knows, we were so in shock by then, but we both saw him. And the trunk opened and closed by itself. So obviously we weren't out of the woods yet. So then, you know, put the pedal to the metal. We just went. I'm not going to stay there for more weird, you know, strangeness. So we finally made our way to this little town, and we went in, and I said, call your brother, you know, find a payphone. Seriously, we do have cell phones, you guys.
So this has got to be in the 1980s sometime, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
Call your thanks for telling my age, George. Call your brother and let him know we're going to be late. It was 2 minutes from when we got off the highway.
That's it?
It was the strangest thing. That is one of, still to this day, with all the strangeness that happens to me every day, strangest thing that ever happened to me personally.
Kimberly, yes. What do you think possessions are? Demonic possessions. What are they? And why are some people more apt to get possessed? Other people aren't.
And I like that you clarified that, because we've come to learn there's many types of possessions. Now, demonic possessions, I believe, have a trauma abuse component to it, a genetic possible contractual component to it. You know, your great-great-great-grandmother might have made literally, you know, a crossroads deal. We all know about that from, like, Supernatural. Or a deal with the devil, or, you know, signed on the dotted line for fame or fortune. That, I guess what people don't realize is sometimes they don't just sign their life away, they also sign your life away.
Super.
Well,
stay with us, Kim. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and chat more. We'll be taking calls with you next hour. Kimberly McGeorge, our guest, as we talk about demonic forces on Coast to Coast. George Norrie back with Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. Her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, secrettoeverything.com. Kimberly, back to possessions. So what makes one person get possessed over another? I heard it could be alcoholism and things like that. Have you found that to be the case?
I do. I mean, we all have our addictions, let's be honest. But I think when you have kind of a raging, more serious, you know, harmful to the body. It's all about, to me, the body. I see the body as an avatar, as a container. And so when you kind of already have let, like, you know, they call alcohol like the spirit, you know, spirit,
sure.
Like alcohol, spirit. And so to me, if you're an alcoholic, you've already kind of actually, one of my daughters is a bartender. I tease her. I'm like, you're just dealing in spirits. Just passing those out. Keep doing that.
There they are.
But so, you know, I think it leaves you vulnerable. And not just, you know, sexual addiction is a big thing. All kinds of addictions, even food addiction. Anytime that we give up control of our mind and our body, we leave that container vulnerable. And what happens to make us seek those addictions in the first place? Usually we have empty spaces or wounded spaces or fragmented souls and minds and hearts. And so I think that really, I mean, you don't have to worship Satan to be, you know, possessed. It's okay if you do, but you don't have to, you know, to be possessed.
Now let's talk about some stories of possession that you've come across that you can share with us. Can you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm also going to, I want to make a little bit of a distinction because I'd like to share, if you don't mind, that not all possession is demonic. I shared, you know, a couple weird, more dark and demonic things. I'd like to share a human discarnate possession, and I don't know if a lot of people are aware that you can be possessed by, some people call them ghosts, I call them human discarnates, but it happened in my family. I am allowed to share this, but one day my daughter called me and she's like, Mom, there's something wrong with my husband. And I'm like, well, we can name a lot. I'm teasing. I love him. We name a lot of.
He's your son-in-law. But, you got to love the guy.
He's my son-in-law, and he's a young man, about 28. He's a wonderful young man. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, well, first of all, he's drinking all his drinks, no matter what they are, whether they're tea or milk or juice, holding two hands. I'm like, okay. I mean, move on. What else? And she's like, and last night he stayed up till 3 a.m. cleaning and doing laundry.
And maybe he was listening to my show. Who knows, right?
No, there's nothing wrong with him at all. He's just listening to Ghost to Ghost.
He's normal.
I love that. That's hilarious. You're hilarious. So I said, okay, so let me look at him. So I remote viewed him. And I'm like, well, I can tell you his problem right now. I said he has a 3-year-old boy in him and a 4-year-old woman. She goes, well, that would make sense. And so I said, come over. So they came over, and literally I pulled these entities or human discarnates out of them. I also spoke to them.
How do you pull them out of them?
Literally, I pulled. Well, first of all, I spoke to them. And this is what is not taught, and you guys can do this too. It doesn't take a Catholic priest. All energies have a personality, and you can work with them. And so it's much better. I worked with them. It's much better to get their agreement that they'll leave and you help them leave than to have to do a violent exorcism. So we've all heard, well, maybe you haven't, but, you know, people die sometimes doing violent exorcisms no matter what they're taking out. And a lot of that is because they don't see the energies or entities as individuals with personality. And even, I hate to say it, demons or dark force energies, whatever you want to call them, they all have their own personality. And they all have kind of their own, you know, range of evil or non-evil or whatever. So anyway, I spoke to these people and they really didn't want to leave. They were having quite a good time.
At his expense, right?
Exactly. Making him kind of, they'd settled in a couple of days, but actually we think it'd been longer than even the day that she'd observed the behavior. Sometimes it takes a while to observe your loved one acting differently. But finally, I don't know, I guess I'm going to be telling my secrets. Oh, golly. I actually sent them to a former enemy, and I said it would be a much more fun time over there. So, you know, again, it's a deal. You know, they can go anywhere they want. And if you get them to agree, and again, I think another thing in my belief and my study, not only is this whole world that we're in contractual law, and I think we see that, I mean, we can give a million examples of that, but I believe the multiverse outside of this reality on other planets and other realms and other times also runs on contractual law. So you get their agreement, that's the important word, and it becomes a contract, and they leave at that point because they understand what I just said.
Well, Kimberly, how did these two entities get to your son-in-law in the first place?
Great question. So my son-in-law is, I don't know what you would call him. They have all these terms now for, you know, whatever age you were born at. But he's not exactly the he's awake, and he actually can see some things and has some psychic abilities. But he's not self-actualized, in my opinion. He doesn't kind of know what he's doing with his life. He plays a lot of video games, you know, kind of like that kind of thing. So I think he leaves himself vulnerable.
28 going on 15.
Yeah, or 10 or 12. But they had just been, this is interesting, they had just been to a festival that was very, very crowded with a lot of people. And actually, his wife, my daughter, can see spirits, and she knows. When you go to these places, actually, whenever you leave your home, and even sometimes in your home, there are, it's just like, what's that show? Ghost Whisper, where there's, I don't know if you guys have ever watched that, or you, George, but, you know, she sees spirits everywhere. She goes.
Is that the one with Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yes, thank you. There's like 100 people there. You know, she'll see 100 people in a square or a store. So that's how my daughter, you know, sees spirits. So she knows whenever you go out in public, when you go to Walmart, people are like, oh, you know, where can I go? Where's the best place in America or Canada or wherever that I can go to see spirits? I'm like, Walmart.
We used to have a guest. Well, we still do. But she used to be asked to go to funeral homes when she was a kid because she could see dead people. And she could generally see the person who had passed on. And so everybody invited her to funerals. And she would go and they would say, is so-and-so here? And, you know, next to the coffin, standing by and stuff. And she would tell them all this stuff. She ended up being a consultant to Ghost Whisperer, the show.
Oh, super cool. I love that.
That's neat.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, where would you put poltergeists in this scenario?
Well, that's an interesting question. A lot of beings can be poltergeists. I believe the Fae, which I know we're not really talking about, but the Fae are big poltergeists. So if you have, North Carolina has a lot of legends and history and lore of called the little people, and different tribes in different areas of the country have their own, you know, type of beings. But the little people are famous for poltergeist activity. They'll take jewelry and disappear it. They'll, in my house, they move my pictures every single night. They tilt my pictures. And if I leave them little pretty gems and rocks and baubles, they'll tilt less pictures, but they still tilt pictures. So I think some of the poltergeist activity is some of these other interdimensional creatures that we don't believe, and we don't believe the legends and the lore. We don't think exist, so we don't work with them. But also, one of my daughters is extremely gifted psychic. She, when she became a teenager, I know you've heard this before probably, and she kind of went through those raging hormones. She used to, like, when she got mad, pictures would fly off the walls. Things would fly off.
I've heard of some of the things like that.
Yeah. I mean,
so energy.
Exactly. She was just really powerful with that, you know, psychic energy. You know, everything's frequency. And if you are projecting that with force, you know, people can deliberately move things as well as she didn't do it on purpose, I don't think. Maybe she did. yeah, so I think there's a lot of things. It can also be, a scary type, what we would call demonic ghost or spirit, you know, being vengeful or trying to get your attention. So everything's so individual, and I think we tend to lump things all together. And so really it's a problem solving for the individual situation. And it's not always evil or bad. I mean, I kind of enjoy, you know, having this weird little game I play with, you know, the little people in my house.
We went back in 1976, the movie Carrie with Sissy Spacek. Do you remember that by any chance?
Yes, absolutely.
She could do things like your daughter, where in a fit of rage, she would make things burn and, you know, be beyond just pictures falling off walls. She would make houses burn and stuff like that.
Right. Ooh, that was a good movie. Good movie.
Realistic. What do you think?
I do. And I think there's no place for talented, if they don't have a mother or father or sister or brother. I mean, where do our young people go to have their psychic abilities developed? There's really, I mean, I didn't have anyone. I mean,
you were trial and error, weren't you?
yeah, miserable, obviously. Yeah. And bearing a lot of shame. I had a lot of shame. And I don't know if anyone out there who is psychic or has psychic abilities or any young people that are listening, I don't know if they understand what I mean when I say shame. Now it's more popular, George. You know that. I mean,
yeah, sure. But when you say shame because of your abilities?
Yeah, and remember, I grew up in a religious home. And
sure.
A lot of people are in religious homes where that's not accepted. As a matter of fact, I know my abilities are real personally, which I guess is the most important thing, because my dad, who's a pastor, evangelical pastor, exercised me like 18 times, and my abilities never left. So apparently, you know, they're part of me. They're here to stay.
Well, you remember the movie Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg. Does that happen to you? Do they jump inside of you?
That's interesting, because with me, it's the reverse. I'm not saying I've never, and again, this is what we're not taught and what we don't know. And with the technology that we have, we're able to tell if people have something inside of them and what they have inside of them. And if they have something in their home, or if it's standing in their energy field, or if it's literally inside the container, also called the body. So occasionally, of course, I have entities that ride on me. You probably have entities that ride on you. We're also able with with all the smartphones and the high degree of photography, you know, they keep upping the phones and the cameras and the capability of the sound and the video on the phones, we're able to blow up these pictures and we can see the entities riding on people. I have four girls, by the way, that's why I keep telling daughter stories. But I tried to get one of my daughters to break up with her boyfriend because I took a picture of him and he happened to smoke, you know, some stuff. And, you know, they say that puts holes in your auric field. And he not only had holes in his auric field that you could see, anybody could see, not just me on this picture, but he had all this sludge and creatures crawling all over him.
Ooh.
It was like crazy. And I'm like, you need to break me out. That works. She's like, you're crazy, Mom.
Did she dump him or not?
Well, that's another story that involved a highway chase with Mom, and, you know, and then, yeah, that ended. But now she's with him again, and all's forgiven.
Did you say a highway chase?
Yes, unfortunately. I may or may not have been involved in a highway chase where he's very lucky that he did not get caught.
Oh, my God. We won't even go there.
Exactly.
Can you see entities without photographs and things like that? I mean, just by looking at people?
100%.
You can. What do they look like?
Again, very specific. So, and even you or anyone in your audience can do this exercise. I'm going to tell you what one of the very most common look like. You can take a picture of someone that has hair because they love hair, like especially women or men with a lot of hair, curly hair, long hair, but you don't have to. They tend not to like bald heads, but they'll go on the shoulders and neck. They're little, these kind of entities that I see thousands and thousands and thousands of, super common, and I've taught all my students how to see them, and I've shown them on them, which they get really traumatized, but they're little furry creatures. I mean, if you showed them to a Bigfoot person, which actually, you know, I do study cryptozoology too, but the normal Bigfoot people, which I'm not normal, they would say, that's a baby Sasquatch. No, they're not baby Sasquatch. But they look like little furry black brown creatures with eyes and ears and, you know, the whole thing. So that's one kind that we see a lot. And I can see them with my eyes. And you guys can too. And I love teaching people how to see these dimensional worlds that they're not attuned to, that are so close to the world that we live in. They just have to go a tiny bit forward, and they too can see what I see.
Why would we want to see these little entities, though? What's the benefit to us?
Off of you, you need to know when they're on you, because they're not just hanging out like for, you know, a fun ride, like you're a Corvette or something. They're draining your energy. They're feeding, possibly, depending on what type they are, on your positive or negative emotions.
Are they psychic vampires?
There you go. Absolutely.
Huh.
So that's a very, very common kind. Of course, the human discarnates, the ghosts, the people that lived here before are very, very common. And, you know, a lot of times they will hang out in the houses and they won't bother the people. You know, we had one in Ohio that would sit on the third step up And he was like a depressed young man that had killed himself, not even in the house. And that's another thing. Everyone thinks that the entities that are in the house match the house, and you have to like dig through the attic and find letters and look for the reason. But that's not true. Obviously, these beings can go anywhere. So they may have ended up there because they were passing through. They may have ended up there because they seem to have this ability to sense psychic people that can see them and have relationship with them. A lot of times they're seeking relationships. So we do see a lot of those. It's really odd. I've seen people walk in a room with like eight beings around them.
Eight of them?
Yes. It's like a crowd.
It's like an army. We're going to come back, Kimberly, in a moment and take phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.